trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my needs. He is my strong star, the strength in my weakest hour. I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me. Trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my needs. He is my strong tower, the strength in my weakest I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me. He is my strong tower, the strength in my weakest I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me. I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, and then, if you will, turn over to Luke chapter 24. Genesis chapter 5 and Luke chapter 24. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, walking with God. Walking with God. Do you have a walk with Him? Do you have that relationship with Him where you can walk with Him and talk with Him? Only two men in the Old Testament did God say that they walked with God. We're going to read about both of them in Genesis chapter 5, and then a verse over in Genesis chapter 6. Stand out of love and respect for the Word of God as we begin to read. In verse number 22, the Bible says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begot sons and daughters." And then verse 24, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Means Enoch didn't die. God said, "Enoch, I enjoy these walks we have together so much. Why don't you just come on up here and walk with me?" And God took him, translated him. And then in chapter 6 and verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah had nobody else as an example, except maybe Enoch. And Noah walked with God. After Enoch was translated, there's nobody else on the earth walking with God that we know of. But the Bible said about Noah, he didn't give in to peer pressure. He didn't yield to temptation. He wasn't influenced by the world and the fashions of his day. Noah was a just man. And Noah walked with God. Do you? How many hours of the day do you go through not even thinking about God? You're not even conscious of His presence. How many of you get up on Monday and try to forget about God? Turn over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I shall begin to read in verse number 13, and I shall read several verses for this blessed story. The Bible says, "And behold, two of the disciples or apostles went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about three score furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened." Now in Luke chapter 24, the things which had happened was Jesus had been crucified. Jesus had been buried. And now then they have gotten word that the tomb is empty, that He's risen. And they're talking about all these things which had happened. "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden," that is, they didn't recognize Jesus, "that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, What manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" By the way, if God showed up where you work or where you're at and He listened in for a while, would He ask you, "What manner of communications are these that I'm hearing you as a Christian speak about? How can I hear these words coming out of your mouth if you're a Christian?" Jesus showed up at your table at break time and listened in, would He say, "I didn't believe you would tell those kinds of jokes. I didn't believe that those kind of words would come out of your mouth." And He said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad?" And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto Him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And He said unto them, "What things?" They said unto Him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priest and how our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which would have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." Isn't it discouraging to know that these people had heard Him preach and they'd followed Him and they'd missed His message? They'd missed the fact that He said He had come to die. and that he'd be raised again after 3 days and three nights. All they could think about, hey, this Jesus who said he's going to redeem Israel and set up his kingdom here. Well, he is. And he did. And he will. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, beginning with the writings of Moses, what's the first book Moses wrote? Genesis. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things pertaining to himself. Aren't you glad that the Old Testament is not silent about Jesus, the Messiah and the Savior? And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as they set at meat with him, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? Well, we read about two men in the Old Testament that walked with God. But here we get a little more information about two of the disciples that walked with Jesus. I want to talk to you tonight for just a short period about walking with God or walking with Jesus. Father, help me tonight to preach this message clearly and plainly, so that it will help our people. It will help Christians from the youngest of them to the oldest of us, that we might hear the Word of God and take it into our heart and life so that it can come alive and live and help us to know how to walk with Jesus and the benefits of walking with Him. Now, I sure need your help. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit and help me to be a blessing to our people as we exalt your word, and may we honor you with everything that's said and done. And Lord, if there be someone here unsaved, would you save them this very evening in Jesus' name? Amen. You may be seated. As I said, there are only two men in the Old Testament that of whom it can be said they walked with God. In our New Testament scripture, we're introduced to two of the disciples who had a wonderful experience of walking with the resurrected Christ. In our hell-bent society of today, never has the need been greater for Christians and for men of God to have that personal, consistent, daily walk with Christ. The Bible says that though the apostles were unlearned and ignorant men, the unsaved of that day marveled at them and took knowledge of them because they had been with Jesus. Let me tell you, a walk with God will change your life. A walk with God will make you glow. To walk with Jesus should be the earnest desire of every sincere and honest Christian. It ought to be the sincere desire of every earnest and honest man of God. God desires beyond our understanding that we walk with Him. and that we maintain a daily walk with Him. Few, listen to me, I say few so-called men of God, and still fewer lay people, enjoy a personal and daily walk with Christ. Oh, I wish I could explain to you tonight how God desires it of us, and how we ought to desire it also. We have no right to be afraid of Him. Only those that are living in sin, have done wrong, should be afraid. We ought to desire that close relationship. I'm telling you, as a boy growing up, it's wonderful. When my relationship with my daddy was so good, he'd put his arm around me and draw me close. And it's good when we get that close to Jesus. Seems like His arms around us as we walk with Him. God came in the cool of the evening to walk with Adam. He walked with God, with Enoch, and God took him. Noah walked with God in a day when nobody else did. And God trusted Noah. He trusted the future of the human race into the hands of the man that walked with God. Calvary was endured, that sinful man, through the reconciliation that's in Christ Jesus and the cross. We might be able to have fellowship with God and walk with Him. One of the names God gives to Christ is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Oh my, God desires to be with His children. God desires to walk with His children. The two disciples of our scripture story tonight began their walk with Jesus with a defeated spirit. However, when they finished that walk with Jesus that day, there was a fire burning in their hearts, the Bible said. Some folks will walk with you until they get to know you, and then they'll walk with you no more. But Jesus, who knows everything about us, and the things He don't know about us are only those things under the blood. And He wants to walk with us. He wants that close fellowship with us. And He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Now I want you to notice some thoughts tonight about walking with God. Number one, the requirement for walking with God. Now you can't say, well, I'll just do what I want, live like I want, and get up in the morning and say, hey, Jesus, let's take a walk together. No, if you're going to walk with God, then there's some requirements to walking with God. Number one, there's got to be agreement. Agreement. Can two walk together except they be agreed? I'm amazed at those who think they can have a sweet relationship with Almighty God and disagree with Him. Disagree with His books. His book. Disagree with His doctrine. Disagree with His church. Church is the bride, and you're going to have trouble walking with Christ if you're in disagreement with His bride. His church. There's not a man here worth his salt would be best friends with another man that had disagreement with that man's wife. Fought with her. Talked against her. Now there's got to be agreement. Enoch had to agree with God before he could enjoy that wonderful walk with Him. Be assured that God will not compromise one verse or one principle of the Word of God to walk with any person. If we're going to walk with God, we've got to come on His terms. We can't sit down and get an arbitrator and negotiate the terms of walking with God. It's either His way or no way. And if we're going to walk with God, there must be agreement with God and with His Word. There's some facts we must face as God's people if we're going to walk with God. First of all, fact number one, if we're going to walk with God, we've got to walk in the light as He is in the light. We can't walk in the darkness of the world. We can't live with the world and act like the world and follow the pattern of the world and expect to have a walk with God. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. Now that word light, walks in the light, that has to do with right. It has to do with divine truth. It has to do with the will of God and the Word of God and the doctrines of God. The entrance of thy Word giveth light, the Bible says. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. You say, where do I find Him? In the light. In the light. You're not going to build a relationship with God in the darkness of sin, the darkness of this world. Well, the Bible says if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy to Christ. Well, if we're going to walk with Christ and walk with God, we've got to walk in the light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Light and darkness have no fellowship. The absence of one pushes away the other. The absence of light means the room will fill with darkness. The absence of light in a life means that life will fill with darkness. If we walk in the light, light and darkness have no fellowship. Fellowship. Sin and righteousness have no fellowship. Christ and the world, or Christ and the child of God who is in the world, cannot have fellowship. To walk with Christ, we must walk where He walks. And if we're going to find Christ to walk with Him, we're going to have to come over to the light. I'm amazed. Now, Jesus will reach down into the darkness to lift us out. He came where we were, only to bring us where He is. He didn't come down here to stay down here and leave us down here. He wants us to move over to the light. To walk with Christ, we must walk where He walks, and that's light. It is Satan's desire to hinder your walk with God, and to keep you in the darkness, and keep you away from the light. Because in that walk with Him in the light, there's also power to walk with Him. And secondly, if we're going to walk with Christ, we've got to learn how to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And God, while walking in the Holy Spirit, we cannot fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. You say, man, I have trouble with the lust of the flesh. Well, learn to walk in the Spirit. Yield to God. Pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Learn to walk in the Spirit of God, and you cannot fulfill the lust of the flesh. We choose to walk in the flesh and talk about someday learning to walk in the Spirit. Won't you decide right now? You say, well, why do I think God would fill me with His Spirit? He said He would. And He even gives us an illustration about a child asking a father for bread. And he said, that father's not going to give that child a rock, a stone. And he said, if a father will do this to an earthly child, how much more with our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to him that ask Him? If we're going to walk with God, we've got to walk in the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. In order to walk in the Spirit, we must learn to walk in God's will. No man walks in the power of the Holy Spirit rebelling against the will of God for his life. You think Jonah was walking in the Spirit, in the will of God, when he is running the opposite direction? He was out of God's will, and the Holy Spirit of God was not on him. He was doing his thing in the energy of the flesh, and he was running because, not because he didn't want to preach. He was a preacher. But God said, if you'll go preach to those Ninevites, he'd save them all. Jonah didn't want them to get saved. He wanted them to die. He wanted to see them under the judgment and wrath of God. Because they were enemies of Jewish people, Israel. And Jonah hated them and feared them and would have rejoiced. That's the reason he pouted so. Finally, when he said, I'll go, and he went and preached, he wasn't preaching hoping they'd get saved. He was preaching hoping they'd reject God so God would kill them every one. But that backslidden Baptist preacher, because he went and preached, God saved them all. The last chapter we find Jonah after the greatest revival ever taken place in the Bible, under a gourd vine pouting because God didn't kill them all. I'm simply saying to you, if we're going to walk with God, we've got to learn to walk in His will. Walk in His will. If we're going to walk in His will, we've got to walk where He walks. By the way, where do you go that God wouldn't be welcome? Where do you go that you'd be ashamed if God showed up and walked up to you and said, hey, what are you doing here? Walking with God. We must walk in the Spirit. Let me hurry on. If we're going to walk with God, we've got to learn to walk in humility. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5, be clothed in humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I can tell you right now, there's some people in this church, God is resisting you. So what does that mean? God's against you. You say, what have I done? You're so proud of yourself. You think you're God's gift to the world. Some of you guys think you're God's gift to the girls. Blind girls, maybe. Ignorant girls, that's worse than ignorant ones. Some of you gals, you think you're Miss America. Wouldn't it be wonderful to come to the place and realize that, hey, man or woman, no matter how handsome or how beautiful one might be, how intelligent or how talented one might be, we'd all come to that place where we realize we're at best sinners saved by grace. We're nothing and nobody without Christ. And instead of walking with our chest stuck out and our nose turned up, we'd learn to walk in humility. Walk realizing that without Him we are nothing. Without Him we can do nothing. Without Him we have no life. We have no future. Some of you young preachers, you think you're the big rooster in the hen house. And really and truly, those of us who've been around you, we know that you're a banty rooster with all your tail feathers plucked out. You think you've made it. You're Mr. Wonderful. And God's going to spend several years of your ministry teaching you to be humble before He'll trust you with the lives of His people. If you're going to walk with God, He's looking for people with a humble spirit. I don't find where Noah is telling all those people that's living like the devil, hey, I'm so much better than you. I know God. No, he preached. But he was an humble man, a just man. The Bible said a perfect man in his generation, which meant that he was spiritually mature and he lived in such a way that God is pleased, and God is never pleased with pride. How many times is God going to have to knock us down before we're willing to get up in humility? How many years are we going to waste thinking we're Mr. Wonderful or Miss Wonderful and never amount to a hill of beans for God until we humble ourselves? Isn't it amazing? God tells us if we will humble ourselves, He will lift us up. He will exalt us. But we come in and think we deserve the best seat. We deserve the most recognition. We're the greatest. Why, we care on a conversation with someone, we'll spend the first 10 minutes telling everybody what wonderful feats we've done. If we're going to walk with God, God's looking for humility. He's looking for those that's got a humble spirit. May God give us Christians and men of God in this generation who are willing to be what God made them and not think themselves better than they are. God forbid this spirit of superiority that's going on today in Christian circles. We do not need the glory that belongs to God. Our job is to give Him the glory. Let me tell you, when we start bragging on ourselves and thinking about how great we are, let's remember we have no life but His life. We have no power but His power. We have no message but His message. We have no future without Him. And without Him, we'd just be another lost sinner on our way to hell. The child of God does not need God against him. We need God for us and with us. And the Bible tells us that one of the things that God hates is a proud look and a haughty spirit. And he writes it down and said, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. And God's looking for people that'll walk with Him, that He can walk with, but God's not going to compromise His testimony walking with someone that's puffed up with pride. If we're going to walk with God, we must learn to walk in the fear of God all the day long. Proverbs 23:17 says, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Now I've said that because our generation is the one that's growing up and saying no fear, no fear, no fear. And what they also practice is no reverence. God is the old man upstairs. The force. The power. The man in the big house. We've lost our fear of who He is, and that fear goes along with our reverence. And by the way, because we don't fear Him, we don't learn to love Him. Because until you learn to reverence Him, you're not going to learn to love Him. Until you come to the place where you see Him as God and acknowledge He's God, and not just a God, but the holy, holy, holy God of glory. The only God. Notice what He says here. We're not to let our heart envy sinners. Now this is where too many Christians are living. On our way to church, we see half a dozen guys in big pickups with boats behind them going to the lake while we're going to the church. If we're not careful, we'll say, man, I wish I was going to the lake. Or we'll see people with all of their stuff on going out to the deer lease, or going to the beach, or going picnicking. We'll see those that are unsaved driving their Porsches and their Mercedes and living in their their big homes, and we'll begin to think, man, you know, if I didn't go to church and tithe, I could have some of that. And we're going exactly opposite of what God's telling us to do. Because the Bible tells us we're not to envy sinners. We're not to envy sinners, but instead of envying sinners, be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. We must never grow accustomed to walking with God. We must learn to reverence Him and magnify Him and honor Him all the day long. Our walk with God is not to be a walk of spasm. Have you ever had a spasm? It comes and it goes. When I had to have my back surgery, I was driving home and I had a back spasm. And my body locked up and I couldn't put my foot on the brake and I couldn't set up to steer the pain was unbelievable. And it resulted in back surgery. But it came and it went. God said our Christian life is not to be like that. It's not to be a walk with God in spasms, but all the day long. We're to live in the fear of the Lord and the presence of the Lord all the day long. Our relationship with God is not to come in spurts, but we're to live in the fear of the Lord all the day long, every day. As we serve Him. As children of God, if we're to walk with Christ, we must walk by faith. So, preacher, that's awful hard in this economy we're living in. Well, I got news for you. Some of you think faith only has to do with money. It has to do with doing the will of God, too. It has to do with serving God and obeying God and following the leadership of God. Yes, it has to do with our stewardship in finances, but it has to do with stewardship in our time and our talents as well. The Bible says if we're going to walk with God, we've got to learn to walk by faith. Now, where most of us live is we walk by sight. We walk sensually. We use our senses. Either we've got to see it or feel it or understand it, or we're not going to do it. But here Abraham was in Ur of the Chaldees. By the way, Ur is in modern day Iraq, down close to the Persian Gulf. And he was in paganism. And God spoke to him and said, follow me, I want you to go to a city that I'll show you. Abraham packed up and said, I'm ready. And he obeyed God. And the thing about Abraham, God said, you know, he's my friend. He's my friend. He is the father of the faithful. It's so important that God's children learn to walk by faith that the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith is so important that God said in the Bible, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Not everything or every place God asks the child of God to go or do can be seen or understood with the natural senses. Sometimes the child of God just must learn to see with the eyes of faith and not the eyes of flesh. Let me tell you, faith makes it possible to do the impossible, to see the invisible, and to accept the unknowable. What God said in His Word, by faith, we believe the worlds were framed by the words of God. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. And I can't understand how God went about it, except that He spoke it into existence. I just got to accept what God says, by faith. And faith makes it possible for me to accept what God says. What the child of God cannot see with his natural eyes, he can see with the eyes of faith. God says to His servant in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Some of us are missing the greatest experience of our life because we won't trust God and just obey Him by faith. Have you ever lived by faith? I'm not talking about trusting your business to give you a salary each week or trusting the government for a paycheck. I mean, have you ever been to that place where if God did not provide, you wasn't going to eat? If God did not provide, you couldn't pay your bills? If God did not provide, you wouldn't have a house to live in? You say, well, preacher, I don't ever get there. Let me tell you something, I've been there. And when you walk by faith in the light and in the will of God, it's exciting to see God work. I could tell you story after story after story of how God has blessed and provided and helped us when there was no way humanly I could do it. God's looking for somebody that will walk with Him and who will walk by faith in submission and humility and obedience to His word and will. I wonder if there's anybody here like that tonight. I wonder if there's a person here tonight that God, that would be willing to say, I'm that person. I want that walk with God. And let me say also, the child of God that walks with God must walk circumspectly. Ephesians 5 says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now what does that mean to walk circumspectly? It means to walk carefully. It means not to waste our days or waste our life or waste our ministry. The word circumspectly comes from the word circumcision, meaning a cutting around and a cutting away. And if the child of God is to walk with Christ circumspectly, there's some things in your life and relationships in your life and habits in your life that must be cut away and cut off. You're going to have a walk with God. And secondly, I want to point out the reality of walk with God, walking with God. I'm not talking about an imaginary walk. I'm talking about a real fellowship and communion with Jesus Christ as you go along your way day by day. One of the most wonderful verses that's helped me in my life is over in the Old Testament where the Scripture said, being in the way, God led him. God led him. And what that meant was, he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. And while he was obeying his master, God was leading him. And God was with him. May I say to you, my dear friends, God is looking for men and women who, while you go about your daily work, your daily business, and your daily responsibilities, doing what you're supposed to do in life to provide for your family and to care for your family and doing it honestly and fervently, living by faith, God will lead you. God will lead you. And that passage is talking about Eliezer who was looking for a bride for Isaac. And while in the way, doing what he was supposed to do, God led him to a well of water and to the very woman God had picked out for Isaac as his bride. I wonder how many things we miss out that God has prepared for us because we're not in the way, walking with Jesus. We're not doing what we ought to be doing. And then the result of walking with Jesus, and I'm going to take this from Luke 24, where these disciples walked with Christ. First thing I notice, turn there if you will, in verse 27, the result of walking with Jesus, the Scriptures was opened up to them for their understanding. Look at verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Try walking with Christ and see if he won't teach you along the way. And another result of walking with Jesus, they were fed spiritually and physically. Look at verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat down at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. They were fed spiritually and physically. Let me suggest this to you. Next Sunday morning, try getting up, spending time with Jesus before church. Spend time with him on the way to church. Instead of fussing with the kids and fussing with the wife or the husband, try walking with Jesus. And come in and see if you don't get more out of the Sunday school lesson, out of the preaching service. And what, oh my soul, you'll even enjoy the song service. It'll be a blessing to you. And then notice also, when you walk with Jesus, their eyes, when they walked with him, their eyes were open. They received a new vision and a new understanding of who Jesus really is. Verse 31, we just read it. Notice also, when they walked with Christ, their hearts were set on fire for God. They had a new compassion, a new joy, and a new love. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while we talked with him by the way, while he opened to us the Scripture? Next thing I see, because they walked with Christ, a commission was given to them. Look at verse 47. Jesus said unto them, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you're witnesses of these things. Then another result of walking with Christ is found in verse 49. God gave them power to fulfill the commission that was given them. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Let me tell you, when we walk with God, we have power to do the work he's given us to do. And then one more thing, a result of walking with him. After their walk with Jesus, there was joy again in worship. Look at verse 52. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Too many of us leave church and say, thank God it's over. Too many of us come to church and the thing we want out of church is to get out of church. When we walk with him, one of the benefits is worship has a new joy. Worship has a new joy. Now let me conclude. In these days of apostasy, in these days of spiritual and biblical compromise, never has there been greater need for Christians and for men of God to walk with Christ. My dear friend, tonight I charge you before God, in these last days, let us be an example to a careless world of a Christian who is determined to walk with Christ. Just two men in the Old Testament of whom it could be said they walked with God. I really wish that when he opens the book in heaven and reads what follows my name and yours, that he will have written in that book, and he walked with God. Father, you sure are good to us. to make it possible that even though we deserve nothing better than hell, we can get saved, we can get right, we can live in such a relationship that we have that precious walk with God. Help us, Lord Jesus, not to be satisfied until our walk with God is in such a way that our heart burns within us also. And our eyes are opened, and we're fed. And there's new joy in worship because we know you're real and we walk with you and we talk with you. And you tell us that we're your own. Thank you for making that possible. Let us never get over it and never get enough of it. Now, Lord, if there's someone here tonight that is a child of God but does not have that walk with you, I pray that you'd come down and you'd sit beside them just as you walked with those two disciples. Though they didn't recognize you, when you got through with them, they did. And there was a burning in their heart and soul and a joy in their heart that they could not explain except they walked with God. May we see it in our lives. Now, Lord, you know who we are and what we need. There's someone here perhaps needs to be saved tonight. They can begin their walk with God by trusting Jesus as Savior. That's the starting point. Nobody ever walks with God and bypasses Calvary and faith in Jesus Christ. Let them come tonight and trust you as Savior and be saved. And then maybe there's some here that needs to come to follow you in believers' baptism or come and make this their church home. Lord, speak to our hearts. Maybe there's some Christians here tonight that are so backslidden and away from God, they don't even know what it is to walk with God, but they want to know. Help them to come tonight and confess their sin and yield themselves to you that they might walk with you. No time like tonight to begin that walk with Jesus. Help us to do it. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet and we'll sing an invitation song.